Today, we'll have Natalie's Run Disney Adults Only Trip. That's coming up on this episode 209 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips, and we often have trip reports like today. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 209. I am excited to bring Natalie's trip report to you. She actually traveled in February and this is going out in April. There are many reasons for that, and one of them is just a scheduling thing with us getting the interview together, and another reason is editing. During this podcast, we had a lot of unplanned interruptions on both ends, but we were able to get through it, and she was able to talk about her first adults-only trip. That was for the Princess Half Marathon weekend, and she and her husband stayed at Pop Century, and they did a VIP tour, which you'll hear all about in just a minute. They did the dining plan. And so there's a lot of different elements that you will be able to hear about in just a second. As always, a reminder to follow on social media. I'm not always super active because sometimes I'm out living life and can't do the social media thing. But when I am, you can see my posts, particularly on Instagram and Facebook. And if you're a Pinterest user, you can find me there as well. So feel free to follow. Just search WW Prep School. If you've been listening for a while, you already know that. The next episode that you hear will actually be daily updates from my trip. I told you my next trip report wouldn't be till May, and that's true for Disney World, but I am headed to Disneyland for an Adventures by Disney, and I've never done updates outside of Disney World, but I thought I would try this time because I am familiar with Disneyland, but this is a different situation because it's Adventures by Disney, and so I thought it'd be fun to bring you along because it's new to me, and I can kind of give you a play-by-play. So that'll be the next episode, but for now, let's hear from Natalie. Welcome to the podcast, Natalie.
Hi, Shannon. Thanks for having me.
So you and I are talking on Tuesday, February 19th, and I assume you're going to Disney World soon.
Yes, I leave on the 23rd, bright and early.
Bright and early on February 23rd. How long are you staying?
We will check out on the 27th. It's a short trip.
February 23rd through the 27th. And you said we. So who's we?
It's myself and my husband.
Okay. And first trip or not first trip?
This is my first adult trip. I went often as a child, and this is my husband's first trip ever.
So it's your first time planning?
Yes.
Yes, which is basically like your first trip. Yeah. Because it's a whole new world when you're the one in charge of all the details. So, all right. So this is your first adult trip. And how did you decide to go this time of year?
So we're actually running the Princess Half Marathon.
Okay.
And so we decided to make a little trip out of it. So we actually have three little boys that are staying with my parents. And it's our first vacation away since having kids.
Yeah. And you're going to Disney World.
Yes. It's a little ironic. I know.
Yeah, listen, no judgment for me. I wish that I had gone without my kids when they were little, just because it's fun to do stuff without. It's different than when you have little kids with you.
Yes. It's a different kind of fun.
It totally is. There's different opportunities when you don't have to worry about taking care of anybody. Okay. So are you both running the Princess Half?
Yes, we are both running.
All right. So that's a lot you're going to fit in. I assume you're going to do a little bit of park stuff and also run, right?
Yes, it's going to be pretty pretty packed. I've been prepping my husband, just kind of saying, hey, just so you know, we've got a lot going on. So,
yeah, but with a short trip, you can kind of get away with that because, you know, it's not like you have a whole week where you have to keep up that stamina. So, you know. Ideally,
that's true.
You can fit it all in. Where are you guys staying on this trip?
We're staying at Pop Century.
Pop Century. I had a feeling you were going to say that for some reason. A lot of people stay there. And it's a really affordable way to be able to do a trip. All right, so you said you're leaving early on February 23rd, so I assume that means you're landing fairly early in Orlando, or if you're flying, right?
Yes, we are supposed to land at around 10:45 in the morning.
All right, and how are you getting from the airport to Pop Century?
We're going to use a lift.
Okay. And you're going from the airport to Pop Century using a lift, and then I assume you probably have plans that first day.
Yeah, so we're going to drop off our bags, I guess, at the front desk until our room is ready. And then we actually have to go to the ESPN sport complex to pick up our race bibs and all that stuff. So that'll be the first thing that we do. And then after that, because I don't know how long all of that will take, and I'm trying to kind of allow some time for all of that running around, I have it to where our first fast pass is set up at Hollywood Studios at 3 o'clock.
Okay, so Hollywood Studios in the afternoon. All right, now I'm obsessed with logistics. As you talk, I sort of try to picture, okay, how are you getting from here to there? So after you drop your bags off at Pop Century, how are you getting from there to the ESPN Wide World of Sports?
I was told that they actually have a bus that's separate from like Disney transportation that will actually take you to ESPN, but they will not take you to a park. They will take you back to your hotel. So I figured we would just get a lift and go to Hollywood Studios.
From ESPN? Yeah, I think you're correct on that. The buses don't leave that often from the hotels. So that's why I wondered if maybe you could use a lift for the whole thing. You know, like a lift from the airport to the hotel, drop off your bags at Bell Services, take the same lift to ESPN. They couldn't wait. They couldn't wait for you at Wide World Sports because that's going to take a little while. But you might be able to let them hang out with you at Pop Century.
Okay, I'll have to ask them and see if they'll do that for us.
Yeah, it kind of depends. Like if you do the online check-in ahead of time, that might make a
Which I
difference.
did.
All right, so that'll make a difference because you don't necessarily have to go to the front desk if you just want to drop off your bags. I don't know, something to think about. You'll have to let us know what you do when you get back. Okay, so you're going to go ESPN Wide World Sports, and then you're going to Hollywood Studios. So are you planning to be there starting in the afternoon until the rest of the night?
No. So we are gonna go and just because I can't come in this early and not go to a park. It doesn't feel right. So I told my husband that I would like to go to Hollywood Studios. So the plan is to arrive, hopefully by 3 to do Star Tours, and then we have a fast pass at 4 for Tower of Terror, and then we have a fast pass for at 5 for Rock and Roller Coaster. And then I currently have two dinner reservations at Mama Melrose. One is for 4:30 and one is for 5:55. And I think I'm going to drop the 4:30 one because my husband said that if he eats and then gets on the roller coaster, he might throw up. So I think I'm going to drop that one and then do dinner at 5:55. And then as soon as we're done with dinner, we were just going to go back to our room and, unpack our stuff and just kind of get ready for the next morning because we have to be up at 2:30.
Okay, so you're doing Hollywood Studios for a few hours, and then you're going to do an early night because you have to get up very early. Okay, yes. You know what? Those early wake-ups are the reason I have never done a Run Disney event because I'm just so like last night I didn't fall asleep till 2:30. So the idea that I have to be up by then seems like daunting. But lots of people do it. So, I'm sure it'll work out for you guys. And especially after it's the end of your travel day, so I'm sure you'll be nice and tired.
Yeah, because I think we have to wake up at 4 o'clock the morning that we leave.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's gonna be a long day.
It sure is. Okay, so we've got your first day, February 23rd. Now, February 24th is the race. Okay, now I'm always fascinated with how people choose to do the logistics of race weekends because I think there's lots of ways to go about it. Like some people do nothing beforehand or nothing after, or some people do everything. I'm just curious what your plan is after you do the race. What do you think you'll do?
So as it stands right now, after the race, we'll go back to our room and shower and all that because it's supposed to be, I think, mid-80s
Oh
is the
my
high,
gosh.
and that's pretty hot to run 13.1 miles in.
Yes, it
So
is.
a shower is very important. And then I don't really know how it'll work as far as getting back to our resort from the race. I don't know what traffic and buses and all that madness will be like. So, but the goal is to come back to Magic Kingdom. And I've heard that if you, so this isn't my first half, but I've only run one other half. And after that half, I went home, took a really hot bath, and then I took a nap. And you're not supposed to do that. So you're supposed to kind of stay active and keep moving. So we're going to go back to Magic Kingdom, or not back to, we're just going to go to Magic Kingdom. And I have a fast pass for Big Thunder at 1. So that's, and we anticipate on finishing around 9:30. So that gives us kind of enough time to where we're not feeling so rushed to hurry up and sh so we can kind of take our time, go to Magic Kingdom, and then be there, hopefully by 1. And we have fast passes for Big Thunder Mountain, and then at 2 is Splash Mountain, and then at 3 is Seven Dwarfs.
Okay. Got your fast passes made. So regarding the race, you said you've done one race before. So is your approach for this to try to run it as fast as you can, or is it just to try to complete it and have fun along the way? How do you look at this?
Yes, this is not something that I'm trying to PR for by any stretch of the imagination. There are so many people, and I didn't submit a proof of time. So we are in one of the last corrals, not the very last, but we're back there. So you start later than everybody else. I anticipate we start at around 6 o'clock in the morning, and I think even that might be, it might not be that late, but I don't know if I'll stop to do character pictures. It really just kind of depends on where we're at on time. I mean, I've certainly trained for the race. We both have, but I'm not going out there to try to run as fast as I can. I really want to just enjoy myself and soak it all up and enjoy running through the castle as the sun's coming up and just those kind of things. This is a bucket list thing for me. So I'm just going to enjoy the experience.
Yeah, okay. That is probably how most people approach it. But I was just curious what your view was. And where do you guys live?
We live just outside of Houston.
Okay, so you're not in a cold part of the country.
No, I am not.
Yes. So hello from Northern Texas. But the reason I asked is that sometimes when you're going from one extreme weather to another, it can be really hard because your body, has a hard time adapting. So
Yes.
you're probably not training right now in mid-80s weather, but the difference isn't so dramatic as if you were coming from Michigan or something.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely not. Last weekend I ran and I think the high was 74 and it was pretty hot. It was definitely humid, and it's harder to run when it's really humid outside. There's, the air is thicker and it's just kind of gross. But that's just kind of the nature of the beast.
Yes.
I mean, I certainly run faster in colder weather, but I was anticipating it to be pretty hot.
Yeah, it's unfortunate though, because I've been there, this time of year, and it was 30 or 40 degrees in the morning.
Oh my
It can
gosh.
vary so much. Yeah. And the coldest day I've ever had was in mid-March, and it was 30 something degrees. So, yeah.
Wow.
But I mean, that's why you have to check the weather before you go, because it could be 86 or 36. You just don't know in these winter months. Okay, so after you race, you're going to Magic Kingdom, you have your fast passes made, and then what is your plan?
So we have a dinner reservation at a Skipper Canteen at 4:45, and then we're just gonna play it by ear, really. I mean, I know that we're going to be tired. I told my husband I really want to see the Happily Ever After fireworks. And he wants to as well. So we had kind of talked about maybe doing one of those specialty cruises like Chris did from your last trip report. Because when he mentioned that, I was like, oh, that's a great idea. But I don't know that we're going to do that. That's going to be kind of like a last minute decision. More than likely, we probably won't. I really just want to be able to sit and enjoy it for, all that it is. And then I know that leaving will probably be kind of crazy. So I don't really know. We haven't fully decided yet, which I know is terrible, but we're just going to play it by ear.
It's your trip. You can do whatever you want. If you want to play it by ear and have some flexibility, you should totally do that. Okay, so I take notes as you talk, and I wrote down happily ever after, maybe. So we'll have to see what you decide to do when you get back. Okay, so that's going to be a very long day, no matter how it goes.
And I did tell my husband that if in the event we just decide, let's go back to the room and go to sleep, which is fine, then on our last park day, which is the 26th, that I do want to make it a point to see Happily Ever After then.
Okay, so you have a backup plan
Yes.
just in case. Okay, so that is February 24th. What does February 25th look like?
So February 25th, we are doing the early morning magic in Toy Story Land, and that starts at 7. And then, so we'll do all of those things. And I don't know that there's a whole lot we would want to do in Hollywood Studios afterwards. So we were going to go to Epcot after we're done in Toy Story Land and breakfast. So we have our first fast pass scheduled for 9:45 at Spaceship Earth.
What time did
And
you
then,
say? 9:45?
yes.
Okay.
And then we have our second fast pass is at 10:45 for Living with the Land. And then we're actually going to take a break from Epcot and we are going to a Yacht and Beach Club for a couples massage.
Couples massage. I bet that's gonna feel good the day after. Okay.
And that's at 12:30.
Okay.
And then after the couples massage, we'll go back to Epcot and we'll spend the rest of the day there. And then we have a fast pass scheduled for Test Track at 1:40. And then we have dinner reservations at La Hacienda at 8:15.
You guys aren't on the dining plan, are you?
We are.
You are, okay. All right, so I'm gonna write that down so I can remember to ask you about it, so to see if you think it was worth it. Okay. Okay, La Hacienda dinner. Are you hoping to catch illuminations from there, or no?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, maybe. What time was your reservation there?
8:15.
Okay. Maybe Illuminations. Gotta catch it before it goes away later this year.
I know. My husband said he kind of wanted to just be out and about and watch it from outside, but I showed him pictures and then he kind of reconsidered, so we'll see.
Either way will work. That's the nice thing. There's so many options with that show. Okay, so now we're at like 9:20-ish, 9:30-ish. Is that going to be the end of February 25th for you? All
Yes, that will be the end of the day.
right, so you have one more park day, right? Full park day. Okay, and what is your plan for then on
So
February
we
2?
actually go back to Magic Kingdom. We have a pre-park opening at Be Our Guest at 8:10.
Nice. When did you get that? 180 days beforehand or not?
No, it was actually, it wasn't 180 days. I mean, it was a few months ago, but I was surprised that it wasn't 6 months out. I want to say it was maybe 3 or 4 months ago.
But that's a good time though.
And I mean, but I was also searching on there constantly, so I think someone may have dropped it, and I just happened to grab it.
Yeah. Well, good. Okay, so you're gonna start the day at Beer Rest.
But I do know that morning they have early morning magic, so there will be people in Fantasyland already for that. But then, it's not like I'm competing with a huge crowd of people, I wouldn't think.
No,
That's
and
what.
people often ask this. They say, if I'm eating a beer guest and there is the early morning magic, is that bad for me? And it's not bad for you because that means that Disney won't change the park hours. Because a lot of times they'll decide last minute to change Magic Kingdom from 9 a.m. to 8 a.m. opening, if they especially if they think it's gonna be crowded. But if early morning magic is scheduled, they can't do that. So you at least know the park is gonna fully open at 9 and you'll be in there before that.
Right.
And those early morning magic people will be so tired of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train by the time you get out of breakfast that you should still be able to get on it pretty early.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, it'll give you a jump and you will not have your park hours changed. So I think it's a pretty good thing.
Okay, good. I scheduled our first fast pass at 10:10 with for Haunted Mansion. And then our second one is at 11:15 at Space Mountain. And then the last one is at 1:15 for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I figured between 11 and 1 we would eat. So I just kind of left that space.
Okay. And you said earlier if you didn't see Happily Ever After before, you would do it on this day. So is this a full Magic Kingdom day then?
No, so we actually leave and go to Animal Kingdom. We're doing the Ultimate Adventure Tour.
Okay. Animal. I'm writing notes, so this is a big word. Animal Kingdom Ultimate Adventure Tour. Now, what does that include?
So it's a tour that you go on, and I think they have a maximum of 25 people, and you have two tour guides. You get to go on Flight of Passage, Dinosaur, Expedition Everest, Kilimanjaro Safari, and I want to say Navi River Journey. And you don't have to wait in line, essentially.
Can I ask you, do you remember how much that one cost?
I think it was $249 a person.
Okay.
I'll have to go back and double check, but I want to say that that's what it cost.
Okay, that's fun. I love hearing about all these tours.
Yes. Oh, and then after at the end, I forget, you get to you get VIP seating for the River of Lights, right? Isn't that what it's called?
Yep.
But I think that's optional. I don't think you have to stay for that, and I don't think I'm going to. I think I would rather go back to Magic Kingdom and spend the rest of the evening there.
Okay. That'll be fun to hear
And
about.
then yes, I think it'll be a lot of fun. And then we'll probably leave after the fireworks. Right now I have a dinner reservation. It's at 9:30 at Wine Bar George in Disney Springs, just to kind of tie out our trip. But I don't know if I'm going to keep that or not. We might be too tired.
Yeah. But if you can't, if you were you planning on using a credit there?
Yes.
So if you cancel it, then you would have an extra credit to use somewhere.
That's true. Okay. I'll have to think on that one. Maybe I'll switch it out for something else earlier in the day.
Yeah, or just like wherever you happen to be. So if you're at Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, you can look for something there instead. Because going all the way to Disney Springs might take a big chunk out of your day.
Okay, yeah.
You'll just have to see because you've got a lot planned. What time does the Animal Kingdom Ultimate Adventure Tour take place?
At 3.
And how long does it last?
It's 4 hours.
3 to 7. Okay. I wanted to write that down to see how the timing worked out. Okay. I think it's going to be tight with your Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Was that at 1 o'clock, your Seven Dwarfs Mine Train Fast Pass?
Yeah, it's at 1:15.
1:15. Okay, that's going to be tight with your schedule, I think. So.
I mean, worst case scenario, I drop the fast pass because we will have been able to get on the ride, quite a few times. Well, not a few times, but hopefully at least a couple of times. And someone else can take them, and we'll just head on to Animal Kingdom. Well, my goal is to be as flexible as possible, even though we have a lot crammed into this one trip.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's you want to get as much done as possible, but you want to stay flexible because you're not sure exactly how your plans will work out. So I can totally see that, but that just jumped out as a possible conflict. So just keep an eye on the timing there.
Okay.
Okay, so that takes us through February 26th, and you told us February 27th you have to leave really early on your flight, right?
Yes, our flight leaves at 9:10, I believe. So,
And are you taking Lyft back to the airport?
yes, I think so.
Okay. Well, this all sounds really fun. I'm really into these trip reports where people are going for just a few days, but they're doing everything. It's just
I
like,
think we might be a little crazy. I don't know. I'll tell you when we get back.
yeah, it will be learning how it goes when you get back. I can't wait to hear about it. Is there anything you have planned that we haven't talked about?
No, I think that's pretty much everything. I think our biggest, I guess, concern is how tired we're going to be. I'm wondering if we're putting a little too much on our plate, but I think it'll be okay. We'll rise to the occasion. We know that this isn't something that we get to do all the time, so especially without kids. So we're going to make the most of it.
Yeah, when you don't have anybody else to worry about, maybe you'll have a lot more energy.
Yes, that's true, because they can be tiring.
Yeah. So, well, I hope your trip goes well and good luck with the run. And I can't wait to hear
Thank
about
you.
it when you get back.
Awesome.
All
Thank you
right.
so much.
Thanks, Sally. Welcome back from your trip, Natalie.
Thank you.
You and I are talking quite a bit after your trip. We are talking on March 19th, and you got back February 27th. So you've had a few weeks to recover. How was your trip?
It was great. We had a great, great time. It was hot during the half. But the couple of days that followed, the weather was so perfect. I mean, it was a shame that it couldn't have been on the day of the half marathon, but it was really nice. I know that leading up to my trip, I think I was watching the crowd calendar a bit, and I was kind of checking the app, the My Disney Experience app, just to kind of see what wait times were. And I know it was significantly busier than it was when I was there. It didn't feel very busy. I mean, it was busy, but it didn't feel so overwhelmingly busy like people would talk about. And I don't know if it's because I had a touring plan in place. So to me, I already kind of knew what I wanted to do and all that. I don't know if that helped. I'm sure it did. But we had a great time.
Good. And the weather was so unfortunate because February is normally so mild, which is perfect for running a half marathon. But
I
didn't you
know.
get up to like 90 or something?
Yes. It started out, I want to say, in the 70s. So we got up at 2:30 that morning, and then we got to the bus, and I think I want to say we got to the parking lot at Epcot at around between 4, and then there's just a lot of waiting around. And then we didn't actually leave the corrals until 6:15. It was a while.
That is a while. And it depends on which group you're in. So we'll have to get to the details of the actual race here in just a second. Let's start with the beginning. How did your travel getting to Orlando go?
Our flight was great. We got there, I want to say, like maybe 10 minutes early or so. There was a little turbulence, but it wasn't anything crazy. And then we took Lyft from the airport to our hotel. It was the airport itself, it was actually pretty busy, and so we kept Lyft drivers or Uber drivers kept pulling up, and everyone was just kind of jumping out to see if it was their car, you know, and it would keep saying that our driver was quickly approaching, and obviously we're ready and eager to go. So it was a little busy and congested. Our Lyft driver was not very courteous. He drove on the aggressive side, so we weren't overly thrilled with our first Lyft driver. Honestly, overall, during our trip, we used Lyft more heavily during the first half of our trip than in the second half, because of the experiences that we had. People just weren't very friendly or very nice. It's either they don't want to talk to you at all, or they didn't know where they were going. They were kind of asking me, like, do I turn here? I'm just like, I don't know, I don't live here. I did have a couple that were really nice. Obviously I don't want to knock on all Lyft or Uber drivers. Just some of the ones that we had left a bad taste in our mouth. So,
Yeah, I often wish there are some drivers that are experts because that's all they do is Disney World. And so they know exactly where to go. They know exactly what they're doing. I wish they could be denoted in the app as like experts and you could request those, because most of us don't drive at Disney World. We don't know what to tell them.
Exactly. Like, and I know that there was construction going on, but I mean, you guys have the map open right there in front of you. I mean, I know what you know. So it was very interesting,
Okay, so
to say the least.
you took Lyft from the airport to Pop Century. Was
Yes.
your room ready?
It was ready shortly after our plane landed, actually. So it was nice because we weren't sure if we were going to have to leave our bags at the front and then go do our running around and then come back. But it was already ready to go. So we went, didn't even have to go to the check-in desk, which was nice because there was a really long line. We just went to our rooms, put our stuff down, kind of unpacked our things. And then after that, we went to go to the expo to pick up our race bibs.
And
And we
did
took
you get there by bus from Pop Century?
no, we took a lift for that as well.
Okay, so you took a Lyft, which is not very far.
No, it
That's
is
a very quick trip,
not.
but Lyft is obviously a faster way when you have to wait for a while for the buses. Did you check on the bus schedule when you got to Pop Century or?
No, only because we had already decided that we were going to take a lift. So it wasn't, I didn't want to, I guess, waste any time unnecessarily. They did have signs in the lobby, pointing you to the direction of where the buses would be the fall, like for the morning of the race,
Okay.
letting you know that, buses will be out front. But I didn't go up and ask anybody specifically what times. But I knew that they started running pretty early. I mean, your wake up time is 2:30, so I think they start running at 3 or 3:30,
Yeah,
something like
okay. So
that.
you already had a handle on when you would need to catch the bus the next day. Okay, so how
Yes.
was your experience at Wide World of Sports getting registered?
Oh, that was seamless. It was very nice. I was surprised because, and I was surprised at how busy it was. I had never actually been there before. But it was very, very crowded, very busy. And I had kind of heard that if you're going to go to the expo, you kind of want to wait until the last couple of hours on the last day because that's when it's the least crowded. So if that was the least crowded, I would hate to see what it looks like when it is crowded. But everything was very smoothly run. We didn't have any issues. We were able to go pick up our bibs, and then you go to another building and you pick up your shirts, and you can walk around the expo and look at all the gear and stuff. We picked up some sport beans, stuff like that, to chew on the run. Looked at some shoes and stuff. We didn't really buy anything else from there, but it went really well.
Yeah, good. And then did you go from there to Hollywood Studios?
Yes. So we took another lift from there. Well, to backtrack a little bit, before we went to the expo, I wanted to upgrade to an annual pass because I know that I'm going to be going back to do another Run Disney event. And there are just certain perks you get being an annual pass holder. And so it was something that I wanted to take advantage of. And initially, I tried to upgrade my ticket at Pop Century. And I had already purchased the memory maker prior to our trip. And the lady at the front desk basically said, I cannot do anything for you for the memory maker. That's kind of up to the discretion of guest services, and you're going to need to go there. If you're unless you're willing to eat the $169 that you've already spent, which obviously I don't want to do that. So she advised that I go to Disney Springs. So we actually took a lift from the expo to Disney Springs, and the lift driver dropped us off just outside of House of Blues. Do you know where I'm talking about? It's the okay, well, I guess rideshare isn't supposed to go there,
It's
which
not. It's
yeah,
supposed to go
and
on the
we
other end.
well, we didn't know that. And he just dropped us off right there and then moved on with his day. So we go there and we're running, and it is pretty hot at this time. I think it's like 1:30 or so in the afternoon, and it's pretty hot. We're trying to find the guest relations area or desk, and it's pretty far away. Okay, so we finally found the guest relations and explained that we wanted to get an annual pass, and they said, okay, well, there's about an hour and 45 minute wait. So we decided to just skip it and go to Hollywood Studios. And so we just went back to where we got dropped off at. And I thought, okay, well, I'll just try to upgrade my ticket at Hollywood Studios instead. And so we go back to where the first lift driver or the lift driver dropped us off at. But because that's not where you drop or pick up people for ride sharing, I called for somebody and they're like, well, I don't see you. And they left. So then I had to call for somebody else. And so they're trying to pick us up from somewhere that we don't even know about. So I went and I asked an employee that worked at Disney Springs, and they finally directed us to the right place. And so all that got ironed out, and we head to Hollywood Studios. And I decided to go ahead and try to upgrade my ticket at Hollywood Studios, and that was a success. But by that time, we were supposed to get on Star Tours. We had a fast pass for Star Tours, and I want to say it was for between 3:15 and 4:15. And we ended up having to just skip it because we were talking to the cast member and they were helping us with the annual pass. So all that goes through, and then we had a fast pass for Tower of Terror, which we went on. And that was great. It's one of my favorite rides. And then I was looking at the app and I asked my husband, hey, do you want to go ahead and try to go on Star Tours? Because we have about, 40, 45 minutes before we can go get on Aerosmith. And he said, sure. So we walked to the other side. And I think the wait time was posted was like 30 minutes or something like that. So we decided, okay, well, we'll just go stand in line and wait it out. It's 30 minutes and we have 30 minutes to spare. So we walk in and we ended up walking right onto the ride. We got on before the people who had a fast pass got on. It was very weird. I don't really know what happened there,
The 30
but
minute
it was a nice surprise.
posted wait time was just being dramatic, it sounds like.
It's yeah, I think so. So we did that, and then we walked over to Rock and Roller Coaster, and I explained to my husband, it's pretty quick out the gate. I wish I could just show you a picture. It's the best. He's, because they take the pictures on the rides, and he's got his eyes closed, and
You
it
can
was great.
send it to me and I can post it with this episode.
Okay. Yeah, it's perfect. But that ended up actually being one of his favorite rides, ironically. He just wasn't, because before coming to Disney World, he hadn't been on a roller coaster or a ride of any kind really in like 15 years. So he was a little anxious, about getting on it, and because I had been talking it up so much. I think he was just trying to, brace himself a little bit. But so we did that. And then after that, we had dinner reservations at Mama Melrose, and the food was really good. Service was good. We were seated pretty quickly. I think we got there a few minutes early, and they sat us at the time that we had a reservation for. And then after that, we just went back to our room and tried to unwind and decompress a little bit and go to sleep at a decent hour because we had to be up at 2:30.
So off to a little bit of a rough start. But then you ended up back at your hotel after getting some things accomplished. I wanted to comment on the cast member telling you to go to Disney Springs earlier. When you said that, I cringed because I knew that wasn't going to work out. Because the Hollywood Studios is where you're going and they can handle it. And so to do anything with an annual pass, you have to go to the parks, guest relation, or Disney Springs. But the Disney Springs one, as you found out, isn't the easiest to get to, and there often is a long line. And people who do a lot of research on planning their trips often end up knowing more than the cast members, or at least have better information than the cast members, because the cast members are dealing with so many people that they have to just give blanket advice. Like, you need guest relations, go to Disney Springs. You need to transfer buses to go somewhere else, go to Disney Springs. So, they just sort of give this like general advice. It's not wrong, it's just that it's not the best advice for your particular situation. So, I can see how that happened. Eventually you ended up at Hollywood Studios. So that's the good news, but just a bit of a detour there.
It started off a little rough, but honestly, everything, once we finally got into the park, everything really just was very smooth, easygoing. Even though we missed Star Tours, it made up for itself when we were able to just walk right on and we didn't even need a fast pass, so everything was fine.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay, so that's the end of your first day, and you went back pretty early because you had to get up early, right? So I think you mentioned earlier that you had a 2:30 alarm, which is the reason I do not do the Run Disney races, because that freaks me out. Sometimes I don't go to sleep till 2:30. So how did your race day go?
Okay, so the race day was great. Obviously, nobody chooses to wake up at 2:30 for nothing, right? Has to be good reason. So, but we woke up. I think I may have hit snooze once, but I was so paranoid about missing the bus or being late, and I set it for, I think, for like 3 minutes apart so that I would get up and make sure that we were ready to go. We got up, we got dressed, we were out the door on the bus, and there was a bus outside waiting for us. We didn't have to wait on one. It was out there waiting for to pick people up, and I think people may have walked over from Art of Animation as well, because I think we had seen a couple come up. I remember because my husband was thankful to see another male out there, because it's mostly women that run, I think, Princess Half. And but they ended up splitting off and they didn't actually get on the bus, but I think we sat there for no more than 5 or 10 minutes after once we actually found a seat, and then that was it. There was a lot of traffic though. Our hotel to Epcot. I remember we sat at one of the lights, and I watched it just skip us for several minutes, and then it finally turned green, and we were able to go. I want to say it probably took 20 minutes, 25 minutes or so, to get from our resort to the drop-off spot, which I'm not entirely sure where. I know it's in the Epcot parking lot, but it's dark and you have to sleep, so, and I'm not driving, so I don't really pay attention to all that. But they drop you off and then you just walk from the bus stop area, and then they have all the tents. So they have, if you're running with the charity, you can find your tent there. They have the race retreat tents there, and then if you want to buy food or anything, they have two fairly large tents. that will have food. And I want to say that I think one of them was also for any merchandise that you wanted to buy, and bag check. And then you also have, they had tons and tons and tons of porta potties, and then they had character spots where you could go and get your picture taken. But the lines were so long that we just decided to skip it, because we actually tried to go up to one of them, and the cast member who was taking the pictures said that they were leaving at 5, and the wait time for the line was, I think, 40 minutes, and at that time it was already 4:30, so we skipped it.
Wow.
And then so we just decided to use the bathroom really quick. Well, it wasn't really quick. You had to wait in a really long line. But for anyone who is listening and plans to run a Run Disney event, there are a ton of porta potties that are in that main area by the stage where they have music playing. But you have to start walking towards the corrals. If you keep walking a little ways further, there are more porta potties with no lines. And I wish I would have known that, because I would have just kept going and gone to the bathroom over there. So, tip for anyone who's going to do that, there are more porta potties before you get to the corrals. So, if you can just walk a little further and wait, I would do that.
Good tip. Who knew you'd have to have strategies for the bathrooms? But
I know.
there's always a line for things at Disney World.
Yes.
Which corral were you in?
I was an F because I did not submit a proof of time. So if you don't submit a proof of time, whenever you register, you basically estimate how quickly you think you will finish the half. And I picked the fastest time available, which I want to say was 2 hours and 45 minutes or so. And I picked it because I finished the previous half that I had run under that time. And so I just decided to go at that same time. And I'm glad that we did, because I mean, so we were in Corral F. There were 9 waves of Corral F. So yeah, there were a lot of people in that corral, and then I think there were two more after us. But I think those are mostly for those who plan to walk, most of the half. But yeah, it starts at 5:30. Yeah, they started the first corral, let out at 5:30, and we didn't go until 6:15 or so.
And so you had a 2:30 alarm and you didn't actually get to start the race till 6:15.
That's right.
It's intense.
But it was so much fun, and it was on my bucket list of things to do, of races to run, and I'm so glad that I did it. It was worth it. 1,000% it was worth it. They keep the course very entertaining for you.
Yeah, that's good. Where did it take you? You started at Epcot.
Yeah, so you start in the parking lot at Epcot, and you take the service roads up to Magic Kingdom, and then you run in through Magic Kingdom, like in through Tomorrowland and around Fantasyland, and then through Cinderella's Castle, and then out down. Trying to think, I want to say it was like between Frontier and Adventureland, and then you kind of come out of Magic Kingdom, and you basically make a big loop back down, and then you kind of go in through the back side of Epcot, and then it takes you past Spaceship Earth, and when you get to Spaceship Earth, you're close to the end, and then it drops you back out at the parking lot of Epcot.
Did you stop along the way for characters or anything?
I did. I didn't stop too much, only because I was so worried about getting swept by the balloon ladies.
And
But
swept is when you're too slow, so they have to pick you up.
that's right. Yeah, you get a did not finish, and that was not something that I wanted to happen. So I tried to keep it moving. But I didn't stop too often. I would see characters and I was like, oh, I kind of want to stop. But then you see the line and it's just like, I really don't want to stand in line for that long. Because, once you get running, especially if you're in a little bit of a groove, you don't want to stop and then, kind of lose the groove that you're in. So, we did stop for Tweedledee and Tweedledum because there was essentially no line. And I did stop when we got into Magic Kingdom. That's where we stopped the most. I stopped. Someone took a picture of us running right before we kind of made the turn into Tomorrowland. So the castle was behind us and then ran through. And then that was actually where we stopped to take a picture with Tweedledee and Tweedledum. And then right before we ran through the castle, there were a couple of cast members taking pictures for people. So they took a picture for us right before we ran through it. And then you could actually, so there was a photo pass photographer, and they're in these like neon green tents so that you can kind of see them before you get up to it so you don't look, exhausted, so that you can kind of smile for the pictures. But there's one right when you're coming out of Cinderella's castle, and then you can actually stop and get in line to have your picture taken in front of Cinderella's castle. And I did do that. And I will cherish that picture forever. It's one of my favorite pictures from our whole trip.
Could you please send me that picture as well?
Yes.
Along with your
Yes, I
rock and
will.
roller coaster picture.
Yeah. Yes, I will. But yeah, it's just those. I mean, because how many times can you say that I ran through Cinderella's castle or I got to take a picture? It's just one of those things that is really special. So,
Yeah, afterwards, all you have is the pictures, so you might as well.
exactly. Yes, exactly. So I think by the time you get out of Magic Kingdom, you have about 6.5 miles to go. And obviously running on service roads, you would think it'd be really boring and quiet, but they keep it very entertaining. I don't want to spoil everything that they do, but they do make sure to keep the energy going, and everyone who volunteered is really, really nice. And overall, it was just a great experience. It did start to get incredibly hot. It was just so hot. More than hot, it was humid. And I live in Houston, so I'm not it typically it doesn't faze me too much, but I think because I wasn't really ready or anticipating it to be that warm. I don't think I've ever sweat so much in my life. It was pretty bad. I ended up getting a little sick when we finished. It was just I tried to stay very hydrated. Every stop, I was grabbing a couple cups of water. I would, pour one on myself, like over the back of my neck, and then drink one. And there was just not enough liquid on that course to keep me hydrated. And I don't know. It was pretty unexpected, because I typically don't do. I don't react that way. More often than not, I'm able to be pretty prepared, especially if I know it's going to be very warm. I always make sure to hydrate throughout the day before. That's, really important, but it did not matter that day.
I bet you weren't the only one.
So probably not, no. And then my husband actually ended up having knee, so my husband had had a knee injury prior to the race. And around mile four, he started having that knee pain. So he didn't say anything to me until we were close to the end of the race. And I just felt really bad because he had just, sucked it up and kept it to himself the whole time. Probably because he didn't want me to feel any type of way while we were out there running. But when we stopped and we had finished the race, there's, medical tents and, there's also medical tents on the course. So if you need like Tylenol or Advil, they had Biofreeze, they had packs of ice. If you need any of that stuff, they also had it when you finish. So they actually came around and used Saran wrap and they just put an ice pack on his knee and just wrapped and wrapped and wrapped and wrapped saran wrap around his knee to hold it on there. So it was, it was very hot and it was a little uncomfortable, but we got through it.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture the saran wrap in the hot, humid air.
Yeah,
It's sweaty.
it didn't hold up as great. The intention was good, I'm sure, but it ended up falling down, I think, before we even got like to the parking lot, past the like where they were handing out water bottles. So, he just kind of, but we had one of those cooling towels, and so he just kind of tied that over it to help keep it in place for a little bit. And then eventually, when we got to the bus line, he took it off. But before we got to the buses, they give you a little box, food in it, and then I took a picture of. They have photo pass, so you can hold up the little stick that says I did it. So I took that picture, and then we got in line to get on a bus to go back. And I will say they had buses coming like clockwork. I mean, I don't think you waited longer than 5, 10 minutes at best. So it was very well organized. I was really impressed.
Good. Sounds like a difficult race day, but you finished.
Yes, we did. We did finish. We finished a lot slower than I had anticipated, but you don't really go there to PR or anything, especially if you're trying to stop and take a bunch of pictures. So,
Yeah, I totally get that. Okay, so now that your race is done, you had some plans at Magic Kingdom and like dining reservations and stuff like that. So, what did you decide to do? What time did your race finish, first of all? What time were you done there?
we finished, I want to say it was, by the time we were back to the hotel and everything, I think it was 10:45 or so.
And you had fast passes starting around 1, I think.
Yes, and I even told my husband, I said I was pleased that we had some time in between the time that we finished, and then so we wouldn't feel so rushed to try to shower and be ready to go and back out of the parks, just kind of a go 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 kind of thing. So we actually went back to the hotel, and because I was feeling sick, I just kind of wanted to take a minute to try to kind of collect myself a little bit. I took a shower and I came out, and my husband had kind of fallen asleep a little bit. So I told him, I said, that's not good for you. Like, you're going to want to get up because of the lactic acid. You want to keep moving. So he set an alarm for 10 minutes. Well, he tricked me. It was actually 20, but told me it was 10. So we took a little cat nap and woke up, and we both felt great. He grabbed a quick shower. We both got dressed, ready to go. And then we took another lift to Magic Kingdom. And then we went to Casey's for lunch. I will say, when we got to Magic Kingdom, it did feel very busy, because it was, but specifically in Casey's Corner, it was very crowded and it was hard to kind of get around a little bit. And maybe I felt that way because I had been feeling sick, because I do remember being at the counter trying to place our order. And I thought I was going to be just sick. Just I had to have my husband kind of take the lead on that, and I had to step out and kind of get some fresh air. And so he brought the food out. While I was trying to get some fresh air, I actually found a little table for us to stand and eat at. And so I just kind of waited for him to come with the food, and then I wasn't really in the mood to eat because I wasn't feeling well. But he ate and he liked the food okay. And then we just kind of went on about our day. I just tried to drink a lot of water. So,
Yeah, but you must have been feeling fairly weak though. You already run 13 miles, you're sick, it was hot.
But honestly, stepping outside, I felt a lot better. So I think because, and it was really hot inside of Casey's Corner there because there's so many. And you have food cooking or space. So I think any of that really helped the situation. But when I stepped outside, I did feel a lot better. I was nervous that I was going to throw up or something on someone. So I wanted to just quickly bolt just in case. And luckily, there was actually restrooms right around the corner. But I didn't end up actually, I just needed to, take a minute.
Yeah. Did you end up using your fast passes then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a great time. So the Casey's Corner thing was a little, that was kind of a little rocky just because I wasn't feeling well. But then once we ate and, well, he ate, I wasn't really in the mood to eat. And I don't typically eat a lot of food after I run, regardless of how far I run. It's just, that's just how I am. Otherwise, I'll get sick. So we went on Big Thunder Mountain and we had a lot of fun on that one. We had a fast pass for that. And then we went to Pirates of the Caribbean, and I think the wait time for standby, I think, was 45 minutes or so. And that was pretty accurate. I didn't time it exactly, but it felt about 45 minutes. But it was kind of nice to just kind of slow down and just sort of, I don't know, not feel like we were going constantly. We were just able to kind of just stand in line and relax a little bit, and we were kind of talking with the people around us, which was nice. And then the ride itself is just very relaxing. It's not a lot of twisting and turning, or you just kind of sit and enjoy it. So we walked to Splash Mountain because we had a fast pass for that, and then we went to Seven Dwarfs for the fast pass there, and then we went to People Mover, and that was really nice because we got to 15 minutes and just relax our legs a little bit. But we were trying to find something to do between Seven Dwarfs and our dinner at Skipper Canteen. And so when I saw People Mover and the wait time, I think it was like 15, 20 minutes, we decided to walk over there and just hang on, kind of to get easy for a little bit. So, it also kind of gave us some time to sort of figure out what it was that we were going to do after dinner, because by that time we were using rolling fast because we had already used our three on Big Thunder, Splash, and Seven Dwarfs. So we decided to get a fast pass for a Jungle Cruise, and it's right across from Skipper Canteen, and I think that one was for 5:45 or something like that, I believe. And so we went into Skipper Canteen. Dinner was great. We sat in the library section, so it wasn't real loud. It was just really nice and quiet. The food was great. The server was wonderful. We really enjoyed it there. And so and then after that we went on Jungle Cruise. And by that time, I think by the time we got off, it was like 6:15, and I kind of wanted to fit in one more ride. My husband was getting tired, and I was too. I just wasn't ready to call it quits yet. So we went on Ariel's Voyage because we had a fast pass for it, and then we were just both exhausted. We decided to go ahead and go back to our room, and I was trying to be flexible and knowing that we probably weren't going to make it for fireworks just because there was, we had been up since 2:30, and I just couldn't see how we could, keep going because the next morning we were going to have early morning magic at Hollywood Studios. So I was really trying to, keep my expectations in check.
Yeah, that's a
So,
long day. Do you know how many steps you had on this day by chance?
my goodness. I'm trying to remember. How many?
It was a lot.
It was a lot. I want to say I did 24 miles that day,
Oh my
I
gosh, basically
believe.
almost a marathon.
Yeah, or maybe it was 23 miles. It was something like that. It was between 22, 24 miles, something like that. It was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we went back to the room, called it a day. And then the next morning we had early morning magic at Hollywood Studios.
Okay, so talk us through that. I'm curious how you liked it.
I loved it so much. It was wonderful. I loved it. I want to say we took, did we take, oh no, we didn't. We took the bus. We took the bus that morning. It was chilly. So we ride back around, grab a jacket, and then went on about our day. And we went downstairs and we were kind of trying to decide, are we going to take a bus or do we want to call Lyft again? And so we saw people standing in line for Hollywood Studios. So we decided to just kind of wait and see, is another bus going to come anytime soon? And if it was, then we'll just do that. And then, and just forget the lift. So we ended up doing that. And I think the bus came a few minutes later. It wasn't very long. So it dropped us off right up front, right up front. And then we walked in. And there's a cast member who asks, do you have a reservation? And you tell them your name, and then they put a band on you. And then there's cast members who will guide you through the park. But they made us go to the ABC commissary first. Like we couldn't go directly to Toy Story Land, which I thought was interesting. I didn't know that there was
Yeah.
a process.
Now, so I've been hearing this lately because I normally recommend people go to breakfast after Early Morning Magic because it's open till 10. But they have been, was
Yeah.
your, so were your tickets, did they say 7 or 7:30?
It was seven.
Okay, so that's why. So the Toy Story Land portion of it is open the same time, no matter if your tickets say 7 or 7:30. But if you have 7 o'clock tickets, they try to get you to eat breakfast early so that it's not as busy afterwards.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
You don't have
Well,
to,
what
though.
we did.
You can line up for Toy Story Land and skip breakfast if you want, but I understand why they're doing that. They're trying to even out the crowds.
Yeah. Well, they actually, we tried to go that way, and somebody was, one of the cast members said, oh, no, sorry. But it was fine. We got to see everything that they had to offer for breakfast. I convinced my husband to, if you do want to get something, like, let's just get a little something right now and then go to Toy Story Land because it's going to get, you don't want to get it too busy because we had never done Early Morning Magic, so I didn't really know how busy it was going to be. So we just grabbed a couple of pastries, he grabbed a cup of coffee, and then we just went to Toy Story Land. And actually, as we were walking up, Buzz was walking out. And so I was like, oh, there's Buzz Lightyear, hurry up, let's go get in line. So we were actually the second person in line, or the second group of people in line. And so that was pretty cool. We didn't have to wait, but a few minutes. And then there was a photo pass photographer standing in front of the Toy Story Land, the sign. And so we took a picture there, but the sun was right in our face, so the pictures aren't the best, but that's okay. And when we walked in, they hadn't, Jessie and Woody weren't out yet. So, yeah, they hadn't come out yet, which I thought was interesting. I was kind of expecting all three of them to be out there together. I don't know why. I just assumed that they would be. But Jessie and Woody were not out yet. So we decided to go on Slinky Dog. And we rode Slinky Dog like three or four times, just over and over and over and over and over. And so then we noticed that there was a line forming outside of Toy Story Mania, and we didn't know what it was for. Nobody was really saying what it was for, so we just decided to go ahead and get in line because I thought maybe that's why they were standing there. And sure enough, it was, but the line moved pretty slow. We spent the rest of our time of Early Morning Magic in line to meet Woody and Jessie. And at one point, it was just Woody. So Jessie kind of, she had to split off for a little bit. And so they kept the line moving. So some people only got to meet Woody. And then Jessie came back about 15 minutes later or so. And then they were both there for the rest of the Early Morning Magic. But I will say the way that they interact with everyone was so wonderful. It was just really sweet to see all the little kids go up and meet them, and it was very cute. It was definitely worth waiting for, I thought. And actually, as we were finishing up meeting with them, we saw the cast members bringing everybody in for the line for Slinky Dog, and it was pure madness. I could not believe how many people. It was crazy. I think as we walked out, the wait time to get on was 90 minutes. It was insane.
So you did Slinky Dog a few times, you met Buzz, and then you waited in line for Woody and Jesse. So did you do Aliens, Thrilling Saucers, or Toy Story Mania?
No, but I didn't really have an interest in doing either one of those. I really just wanted to do Slinky Dog. If we had done the other ones, that was okay too, but Slinky Dog was really the main reason that I wanted to go. That and then the character meets
Okay.
for us. So, but yeah, so that's what we ended up doing. And then we talked about maybe going on Toy Story Mania, but I also really wanted to get to Epcot because that was the other part of our day was going to be at Epcot. So we ended up going and getting some breakfast, which was really great. I got the little the Mexican bowl. It has like avocado and sauce. It was so good. I can't remember. Oh, my husband got the avocado toast. He said he liked it, but he liked my bowl better, I think.
Yeah, your bowl is my favorite.
Yeah, it's really good. And so then we went to Epcot. We were gonna walk over there, but it was just we felt like it was gonna take us too long, so we ended up taking a lift. So it was just a couple of minutes, and then
You
we
took a
went
lift to
to
the front of Epcot or to Beach Club? Where did you take a
No, we
lift
took
to?
it to the front.
Okay.
To the front of Epcot. Yeah. It was no time for us to walk up to the front. I was pleasantly surprised. But the line to get into Epcot was kind of crowded. But our first fast pass was Spaceship Earth. And then Living with the Land, that was our second one. And then we went shopping at Mouse Gear just to pick up souvenirs for everyone in our family and that kind of stuff. And then I had actually asked a cast member, how long does it take to get to Shipshape from here? Because it was at Yacht and Beach Club. So she said, oh, I don't know, I'd say about 28 minutes, which I thought was a really long time. So we decided to go ahead and start walking that way. But we took our time walking through some of World Showcase up until we got to International Gateway. And, you know, we stopped and like had a couple of drinks and I want to say it took us maybe 10, 15 minutes at best
Yeah,
to walk there. I don't know where she
that's
got 28 minutes from.
28 is really funny though. It's a kind of a random number.
Yeah, it was interesting. So we had our couples massage at Shipshape, and that was wonderful. So after the massage, we walked back to Epcot, and then we had a fast pass for Test Track, and that all timed out pretty perfectly. I think we got back to Epcot around 1:45 or so, and our fast pass I think was for 1:40. And then we went to Soarin', and there was a 50-minute wait for that. But we decided to go on it anyway. Just I don't know. It was on our list of things to do, and I was looking on the app, and it didn't really seem like we were gonna be able to get a fast pass for Soarin'. So we just decided to go ahead and wait in line. And then after that World Showcase, we checked out a little bit of Festival of the Arts. I'm trying to think. There was a little a spot in the Mexico Pavilion, and they had like street tacos, which my husband loved. Like he raved about them. Still to this day, he said that was one of his favorite things that he ate there. After that, we went on the ride inside of the Mexico Pavilion, which is always fun. And we just kind of hung out in the World Showcase. I mean, we didn't really try to leave that area. We walked around to all the different countries. We ended up going on Frozen Ever After. We couldn't get a fast pass for it, but it was a ride that we both wanted to do. The line was pretty long. I think it was a 55-minute wait, and it actually felt longer than that. So I don't know if maybe it wasn't and just felt like it, but we were in line for quite a while. And then after that we had dinner at La Hacienda, and that was for 8:15. And we weren't seated where we could see the fireworks, but our server said that right before the show starts that he would move us so that we could finish our meal and sit so that we could see the fireworks from the table. And he did. And they piped the music in. The food was really good. But I really like that he went out of his way to make sure that we could sit, you know, right up front so that we could see everything. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that is nice. I imagine that's a request they're used to getting about that time of day.
It is. And actually the people in front of us, who went to go check in, can we please get a seat by the window? And she said that unfortunately that's just not something that we can guarantee. And so we didn't even bother to say anything because we had already heard, you know, from the previous party. So, so it was nice that he tried to do that for us, or that he did do that for us.
Right. So it sounds like the end of a really good day.
Yes.
Good. Yeah. You had one more full day left, which, as I recall, included Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom.
Yes. And this is probably my favorite day.
Okay, good. I can't wait to hear about it.
Yes. So Tuesday we had a pre-park opening reservation at Be Our Guest for 8:10. And I know that you recommend ordering your food prior to. Mm-hmm. That's definitely the way to go. So whenever you go to check in, they either give you a little yellow puck or a red puck, and maybe it changes color depending on the day. I'm not really sure. But if you had a yellow one, that meant that you already placed your order for your food and you're seated a lot faster. And then, you know, obviously if you had the other one, then you're standing in line, looking over the menu, trying to figure out what you want to order. And that line was pretty long. I mean, it went out. So they had opened the restaurant. It went out outside down the path. I mean, all the way to the check-in, the little check-in spot outside, and then a little past it. So, I would definitely recommend you order your food prior to that. You're not having to stand in that long line.
It always seems a shame that people knew enough to get the early reservation, but not enough to order it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because
they both take extra work.
It kind of defeats the purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
They both take extra work. So just go ahead and do that extra step so you can skip the ordering process.
Exactly. It probably saved us a good, you know, 20 minutes,
mm-hmm.
I would say. And they did have early morning magic going on that morning. So we knew that, you know, it wasn't like we were having to compete for a possible that Disney just decides, oh, okay, well, we're going to open the park early or whatever. So that was nice. We really enjoyed Be Our Guest. I loved eating inside. I mean, it's just, everything is very detailed and immaculate, and I'll definitely go back. It was really good. And you were right about the pastries. They had a ton on top of the food that they bring you. So, and I don't know if you know this or not, but at Target in the travel section, they actually have like a little pack. It's like a 5-pack, a Ziploc bag. So I just grabbed that and literally put that whole thing in my little backpack that I carried around,
mm-hmm.
so that whenever I wanted to take the pastries, I could just put them in my little Ziploc bag and move on with my day.
That's right. Always keep Ziplocs handy. One of the reasons is for pastries for Be Our Guest.
That's right. So after breakfast, the park hadn't officially opened yet. So we went and stood in line for Peter Pan. We thought about doing Seven Dwarfs. The line was kind of long already, and we had a fast pass for it later. So I wasn't dead set on having to get on it right in the morning, and we hadn't actually done Peter Pan yet. That was something that I wanted to do. So we got in line for Peter Pan, and then I think after that, I checked the app and everything, because it had just opened and we had already been in Fantasyland. The rides over there were really starting to, the wait times were starting to kind of go up a little bit, but everywhere else, it wasn't like that. So we went to Frontierland and then we got on Big Thunder. There was no wait. It was like 5 minutes. The line just kept moving, which was really nice. And then what did we do after that? Oh, after that, we went to Splash Mountain, and it was kind of cold that morning. And I wore a short sleeve t-shirt and pants because it was kind of chilly out. And I brought shorts with me because I knew it was going to warm up. So I thought, okay, well, I'll just change, you know, at some point during the day and put my just fold my pants and put it in my backpack. We got on Splash Mountain and we were seated in the very front, and I had my poncho in my backpack, but it was still like packed away in the original packaging, and you needed scissors to open it. And my husband and I could not get the package opened fast enough for us to get on the ride with the poncho, and I got soaked, just drenched. And so, I mean, I walked around. We ended up taking some time to go find a t-shirt so that I could change out of those clothes because it was really cold, and I was soaking wet. And people probably thought, like, why does this woman look like a wet dog? But it was really cold. So, and I didn't want it to put a damper on, the day or anything. So, found a shirt in the Emporium, and then we had a fast pass for Haunted Mansion, so we went to go do that. And then we went to go meet Mickey and Minnie, which I loved. I actually brought my medal with me and I had them sign it. And so I've decided that I'm making that like my new tradition for any Run Disney event that I do. I'm gonna have the character sign the back of my medal.
That's cute.
And then after that, we went on Space Mountain. We had a fast pass for Space Mountain, which my husband really enjoyed. I did too, but just because my husband is he was kind of apprehensive on the roller coasters because he didn't really know what to expect. He did like that one. And then we had another fast pass for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I want to say it was between 1:15 and 2:15. And we got on it pretty quickly. And then looked at the clock and said, "Hey, we got a split." I go, "Animal Kingdom." I actually took the bus. So we did get a little frustrated here because we were trying to figure out how to get to Animal Kingdom. Did we want to call a Lyft? And we should have thought about this more thoroughly beforehand, but just because of the experiences that we had already had, we were kind of iffy on what to do. So we decided last minute we're just going to take a bus from Magic Kingdom to Animal Kingdom, because so we walked out of the park and we were trying to figure out how to get to the ride sharing area, because we had briefly entertained the idea of taking Lyft, but we were getting kind of confused and we kept looking at the clock and we didn't want to miss, trying to get to Animal Kingdom. So we just said, forget Lyft, we'll just take a bus. And so we got on a bus. It arrived very quickly. I have to say, I think we had better luck with Disney transportation, like with the buses, than we did with Lyft overall. We hardly waited for anything. I want to say the longest that we ever waited for a bus was maybe 10 minutes. That was, I mean, I was pretty happy about that.
Yeah, that is really good.
So we took a bus to Animal Kingdom and we got there around, I want to say it was around 2:15 or so, and the tour started at 3. So it gave us enough time to kind of, go in. I think we stopped to grab like a little snack and figure out where we were supposed to meet, because they tell you that they're going to meet in a specific location, and you have to check in and all that prior to the tour beginning. So we wanted to make sure that we were in the right place. And so then
Where did this tour meet?
I'm trying to remember. It's close to the Tree of, it's kind of like, if you go to the left of the Tree of Life and kind of up around, there's like a small little walk, not small, but it's kind of a little walkway that's kind of off to the side. And there's, oh, what was it? My husband was kind of teasing me. There was some type of bird. I want to say it was like a, I don't remember what it's called. Where was it? It's close to a Starbucks. I know that,
Okay,
if that's
so it's a
helpful.
path on the
Okay.
Tree of Life side near Starbucks.
Yes.
Okay, and there's a
Yeah,
lot of
I'm
little
trying
paths
to.
winding in there, so it gets a little bit confusing. But
Yeah.
you got checked in for your tour.
Yeah, so they go and they check you in. They have little bottles of water for you right there if you want to take one. And then they ask you, they have like a little check-in sheet, and you fill out like what kind of drink you'd like to have. They do offer alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages, and you pick which one you want. And then they give you a lanyard that has, it's a little plaid lanyard, kind of like goes with the tour guide's outfits. They kind of match their outfits a little bit, and it says VIP tour, the Ultimate Nights of Adventure VIP tour on it. And then you kind of have a few minutes if you need to use the bathroom or whatever. And then everyone reconvenes at the same place that you checked in at. And we had two tour guides, Andrew and Kennedy, who were phenomenal. And then they also have, I forget what her specific role is called, but she's kind of the organizer of everything. And her name was Zan, and she was wonderful too. Our group was relatively small. I want to say, I know for a fact it was, you can get up to 25 people in your group, and I want to say there was maybe 13 of us. Yeah. I don't know how new the tour is. So I don't know if maybe that's why. I don't know, but it we really and we I can't rave about this enough. My husband every park like that. That would be just amazing. It was really, really nice. They're very, very knowledgeable. They're really kind. They do a little icebreaker, so you all gather around, you say your name, where you're from, and what your favorite animal is. And then they start leading you on your tour, and our first stop was Expedition Everest, which neither one of us had ever been on. And so that is actually my husband's favorite ride. Well, he liked that ride better than Flight of Passage, just because he's come to realize that he's more of a roller coaster individual. He liked Flight of Passage, but he really liked Expedition Everest more. But that's okay.
He certainly got a lot of coaster time on this trip.
He did. He really, really did. Expedition Everest, and then we went on Kilimanjaro Safari. It was nice because all animals that were out were active. It wasn't too hot during the day. Actually, it was about to rain. It was pretty cloudy, and I knew rain was in the forecast, so we were kind of anticipating it to rain a little bit, and it did end up raining, but it didn't damper the tour or anything like that. And it wasn't until later in the evening that it actually started to rain, so it kind of held off for a while. But after Kilimanjaro Safari, we went on Navi River Journey, and then we went on Flight of Passage, which I absolutely loved. And then after that, we had a heavy snack. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's even more fun when you don't have to wait in that long line.
Yeah, it really, really is. And that's what I loved about the tour. You don't have to wait, in the standby line, or and then like they keep your group together, which is really nice because you kind of, get to know each other. I mean, you spend 4 hours with these people, so it was kind of nice to do everything as a group. After Flight of Passage, that was when it started to rain, and we had actually, I want to say it was, we went to Satuli Canteen, but we went in through like a side entrance. Which is why I'm not entirely sure that that's where we were, because we never actually got to see the front of wherever it was that we were at. But I'm pretty certain, just based off of the food options that they had, so what they do is they sit you with another family, depending on how many people are in your party or in your group. So it was my husband and I, and then a family of four. It was the parents, and then they had two younger kids. And then the other table was a family of three and a family of four. And so they do kind of like a family style. So they had just big plates in the middle of food, and then you can just, kind of help yourself. They had shrimp, chicken. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember what the red meat was because I didn't eat it. They also had tofu. I had the chicken and the tofu, and it was delicious. They had noodles. They had cauliflower. What else did they have? They had like a potato salad, I want to say, and they had they just had a bunch of like different sides. And then they had whatever drink you ordered was in your spot, and you had like a little name card, and everyone kind of sat wherever their names were placed at. So we had like 30 to 40 minutes or so to just kind of sit down, have something to eat, which they said it's a heavy snack, but I mean, it was essentially, a meal. And it was really nice because you got to take some time to get to know some of the other people that were in your group. And then, so by that time, it was kind of coming down. And so Zan, the girl who was kind of in charge of having everything organized, she actually came back to our tables and they had bought ponchos for everybody so that we didn't have to worry about getting rained on. So, we all got to wear a poncho and then we headed to Dinosaur and we got to ride on Dinosaur and we ended up finishing our tour a little early. And if you remember, we were going to be very flexible on our nighttime for Happily Ever After. And because, we didn't have a huge interest in doing River of Lights, we decided to opt out of that. But that is included in the tour. You get a VIP seating of River of Lights. But we actually finished a little early before they were allowing people to come and sit for the show. So we got to go on Expedition Everest again. So we walked back over and we did that real quick in the rain, and it was so much fun. And actually, our tour guides got to ride it with us, and because they ride the ride so often that they know where all the cameras are, so they were both asleep during the ride. But it was really nice at the end. We had let them know right before we went on Expedition Everest again, that we were going to actually take off and go to Happily Ever After. So they gathered everyone around right before we went to go sit down for River of Lights, and they give you, I don't want to give it away in case anybody wants to go take the tour, but that you do get something at the end. It's pretty cool. It's not something you can get unless you take the tour. So then we looked at the time and it was almost 7:30. And since we took a bus to Animal Kingdom from Magic Kingdom, we decided to take a bus from Animal Kingdom back to Magic Kingdom. We were able to get on a bus very quickly. We got to Magic Kingdom. By this point, it's still raining, but we had the ponchos. And we were trying to hurry and get in through the turnstiles pretty quickly because the show had just started as we were getting up to the turnstiles. And it was pretty crowded, but I don't know how, but somehow we managed to get great, 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 great seats. And maybe it's because it was just my husband and I. And I kind of led the way. My husband's like, I'll just follow you. So I'm walking up the sidewalk on Main Street, like kind of underneath the awnings of all the shops, and just sort of making my way through. And we get to the hub, and there are cast members standing there saying, I'm sorry, you guys, you can't stand here. We need you to move forward. Like, please keep moving ahead. So they are the ones who kind of guided us into this great spot. We were very, very close. And I was surprised. Like, we didn't, a lot of people usually take the time and stake out their spot. And we just sort of happened to stumble upon this great spot. We were pretty close to the middle. We weren't too far away. It was really wonderful. The best way to close out our trip. I could not imagine a better way. It
Yeah,
worked out very, very well.
I was gonna say that. What a lovely way to end your whirlwind trip.
Yeah, it was pretty perfect. And my husband was in awe for sure.
Yeah. So I was looking back at some of the notes I took beforehand to see what I wanted to ask you. You mentioned having the dining plan. So did you end
Yes.
up thinking that that was worth it for your trip?
It was worth it in regards to the meals, not for snacks, but only because my husband, just out of habit, because, outside of Disney, you always pay for your food with a cash or card. So out of habit, my husband would just pay with cash. And I was like, no, you have to use your Magic Band. So had that not happened, yes, I would say that it would have most definitely been worth it.
Yeah, so he ate
So
the snacks, he just didn't use snack credits.
yeah.
Okay.
Yes, but he will know better for next time.
And then, so if I'm correct, your next day was an early flight, so there wasn't any park time on that day, right?
No, there was no park time. We were up at 6:30, I believe, which was probably the latest that we slept in the whole time we were gone. But yeah, we got up, we went downstairs, grabbed some breakfast, and then we took a actually from to the airport, and he was actually lovely. So, that was nice. But yeah, we just took a lift and flew home, and that was it.
Well, good. This was your first adult trip, right? So it sounds like it
It
was a
was.
success.
Yes.
So do you have you got an annual pass? So when is your future? What are your future trip plans?
Well, I wanted to do wine and dine, but I think we're gonna hold out, and I'm actually going to, because just with the way that the dates fall, with it being Halloween before, and we have little kids, and we obviously want to be with them and do the whole trick or treating and all that stuff. So I'm going to wait, and I'm actually going to do a marathon weekend, and I will be coming in the Tuesday before marathon weekend and leave the Monday after. And I will
So,
be doing the Dopey Challenge.
oh my gosh. So the Dopey Challenge means you run all three races that race weekend in January.
It's four. It's a
Four.
5K on a yeah, 5K on a Thursday, 10K on a Friday, half on a Saturday, full on a Sunday.
I cannot imagine. That's intense.
The training starts first week of July. So
Wow. And is your husband doing that
yeah.
with you, or are you doing that on your own?
No, he has come to realize that he is more of a shorter distance runner, which I respect 100% because it is really hard. And it's just, it's not for everybody, but he enjoys running, but he's just not for running, a half marathon or a full, but a 5K, 10K, he'll definitely do those.
Yeah. Okay, well, that'll be exciting. You'll have a lot of time to prepare for that one. Hopefully, it won't be as hot as this trip.
Oh, I know. I just hope it's not as cold as it was this past year, because I know it was pretty chilly.
Yeah, it's the January was cold and February was 90 degrees. It's so hard to predict.
I know. I know.
Well, I appreciate you talking to me, Natalie. It's been helpful, and I'm glad that overall your trip went really well. I hope you enjoyed that from Natalie. Certainly lots of details thrown into her relatively short trip, but maybe you learned a thing or two along the way. My tip this week is I shared something on Instagram as a tip, and people said, you should do that as a quick tip on the podcast. So here I am telling you all about it in audio form. And this tip is that one of the nice things about the queues, some of the queues at Disney World, is that they're interactive. So if you do have to wait, and I hope it's not for very long, there's often things to do while you wait. But the downside is that some of these things are very germy because they are surfaces that people drag their hands along, and it can be a little creepy. An example of that is in the Winnie the Pooh queue at Magic Kingdom, there is a honey wall. It's like a plexiglass wall, and if you run your hands over it, it appears that you're wiping the honey away. However, the tip is that the same effect will work even if you just hover your hands over it. You don't actually have to touch it. I believe the same thing works in some of the elements of the Haunted Mansion queue, and probably in some other areas that I just can't think of off the top of my head. So you may be able to avoid some germs and still participate in the interactive elements in the queues. And that'll wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information, you can look in your podcast app or go to wwprepschool.com. Click on podcast at the top and look for episode 209. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.